Hi, I'm Mary Harrell from Mater Dei Radio. Do you ever feel like there are roadblocks in the way of having a real, productive conversation with people about the Catholic faith, whether it's skepticism or moral relativism or materialism or any other number of the isms in the world today? Proclaiming and defending the faith can often feel like trying to move mountains or fill in deep, empty valleys. In fact, it can feel a lot like what John the Baptist had to do to pave the way for our Lord's coming, just minus the locusts and the honey. But how to actually move those mountains and fill in those valleys? Well, for that, we're talking today about a new book out by Catholic Answers apologist Carlo Broussard called Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Carlo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Mary. It's my pleasure. It's an honor.
Carlo, thanks to you, I've got Handel's Messiah playing in my head round the clock now. Every valley. I know it's a real treat for our listeners when I break out in song. How did this project develop for you, and how did you come to take Isaiah's Old Testament prophecy as your title?
Yeah, well, you know, Mary, for the longest time, I've always just sort of interiorly within my own prayer life and just reflecting upon the ministry of apologetics and in talking to the Lord, I've always seen the ministry of apologetics similar to the ministry of John the Baptist, because often in apologetics, when we're evangelizing, trying to make disciples, so many times people have obstacles to the truth that we're trying to share. Mm-hmm. Like if we're in dialogue with Protestants, those obstacles are, you know, Mary or praying to the saints. And unless you can first remove those obstacles, they're going to have a hard time embracing the truth of the Catholic faith. Well, mm-hmm. obstacles abound for unbelievers as well. They have obstacles to truth. You know, how can I believe in truth when people believe so many different things? How can I believe in God when there's so much evil in the world? How can I believe in Jesus when I can't even trust mm-hmm. the New Testament documents? So all of these obstacles abound for unbelievers, ranging from truth to God to Jesus to Christianity and to the church. And our job as Catholics, as evangelizers, is to help others, help these unbelievers, to help remove these obstacles and to prepare a way as our Lord approaches with the gifts of truth in life. And sometimes it's the presence of something like a mountain mm-hmm. or a hill that we have to try and lower, or at least to drill a hole through mm-hmm. right, in order to prepare a way. Mm-hmm. Or it's the absence of something like a valley. So it's the lack of evidence for God, or it's the lack of a Christian witness. You know, unbelievers say, well, how can I be a Christian when you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites? I've never encountered a real Christian before. So it's important that we provide the evidence to feel those valleys. So like John the Baptist, who cooperated with God in his providential plan to prepare a way and make a way straight for our Lord as he came as the Messiah, we too, similarly, in the ministry of apologetics, God calls us to participate in his providential plan to prepare a way for our Lord as he's approaching unbelievers and all peoples with the gifts of truth and life. And like mm-hmm. John the Baptist, we have a great dignity bestowed upon us to do this, because Jesus didn't need John the Baptist, right? Mary? I mean, Jesus could have did it himself. He could have snapped his fingers and boom, everybody's ready for him. But he chose to use John the Baptist as an instrument to bestow upon him a great dignity to be a voice crying out in the wilderness to prepare a way for the Lord. So too, as for us as Catholics, he bestows upon us a great dignity, calling us to cooperate in his providential plan to prepare a way for him as he's approaching unbelievers, so that we can be a voice crying out in the wilderness of contemporary culture.
Right, Carlo, and I love that about your book, that it lays out a plan for people, for apologetics, to anyone. It doesn't say you need the PhD in theology for this. It doesn't say you don't need the master. You can do this. You just need the tools. Carlo, the structure of your book is rather unconventional. Instead of chapters just describing common apologetic strategies, you've taken over 30 common objections to the faith, just like you were mentioning, and then laid out step-by-step strategies. And you use that word a lot, strategies, to walk people through having these conversations. What made you decide to structure your book this way?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, it was when we were first contemplating on how to do the book, we asked ourselves the question, well, do we want a book to give just for, like, you, Mary, who grabs the book and says, here, atheist friend, read it. Or do we write a book for Catholics in particular, but also, too, for Christians outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, because the majority of the chapters in this book can benefit non-Catholic Christians as well who are evangelizing our believers. And we chose the latter approach because we wanted a coaching manual. And that's what the book is sort of has the feel of. It's a coaching guide. I coach the reader in these strategies, how to be patient. That was one key word that Al Cresta brought out for us with the book. It was a patient approach in guiding the inquirer step by step in removing these obstacles and coming to embrace the truth. So each chapter, as you mentioned, Mary, is divided up into distinct strategies. The majority of the chapters have three strategies each, and then some chapters vary a little bit depending on the content or the topic. But strategies that walk you through. So I tell you, explain this, explain that, right? And then within each strategy, I offer you questions that you can ask in the conversation to guide the conversation alone, and then also to not, and then the questions are not meant to be snarky, you know, and to like put them in a trap or something, but it's to draw out ideas, to expose certain flawed fundamental assumptions, etc. So that's it's a pedagogical tool to guide the conversation alone. And like you said, Mary, I'm very happy with the way the book came out. And it does deal in the first two sections of truth and God, just the nature of the beast. We're talking about philosophical issues. So it does deal with philosophy. But thanks to my editor, Todd Aglialoro at Catholic Answers Press, he helped me. And we did. I think we came out with a good product on how to take these philosophical concepts and put them forward in a way that somebody without a PhD or a master's in philosophy can actually read through it and learn a thing or three about philosophy. Right. And most importantly, to learn a thing or three about philosophy for the sake of strengthening one's own faith in and belief in truth and God, but also to help unbelievers.
And Carl, I've noticed this with apologetics books by really on fire apologists like yourself, also in Trent Horn's Persuasive Pro-Life. The art, the simple act, but also the art of posing questions to people and following them up with more questions. That is really, it seems like, the most important and effective way of preparing the way for Jesus and for the truth. Do you find that to be true? And it's almost uncomfortable to have to ask people those questions because you're like, are they going to answer the way the guy answered in the book? You know, is this really going to go down the right place?
Yeah. And this, you know, you bring up a very important, Mary, because as I point out in the conclusion of the book, there's this book offers you strategies, or I would like to say arrows to put in your quiver, right? And it instructs you on various different targets that each arrow is for, you might say, right? Because in the conversations never go exactly how you plan or how you read about them in a book. So the point of the book is to equip the reader with the various different strategies so that when the person is in the conversation, it might not go exactly according to plan in the book, but they're equipped with the correct strategy when the right target is presented, right? Or when the right objection or the right question is asked, then one is able to divert and then address that issue. So you might not go strategy 1, 2, and 3. You might have to start the conversation with strategy 3 and do strategy 3 two more times and then go to strategy 1 and 2. So, but the book is there to catalog the various different strategies for the various different topics in order for the reader to assimilate that into their own thought process and their own heart so that they have something to pull from when they engage in conversation.
And it's a lot better than just pointlessly shooting anywhere and hoping you hit something. It's better having a target.
Everybody wants to tell their story. So all you got to do is just ask them a question, let them tell their story, and then you can respond.
Carlo, it seems like a person could only write so much about these strategies and objections to the faith if they've had these conversations in real life. Have you had the chance to encounter almost all these or most of these objections in actual conversations with folks?
Yeah, the majority of them do come up in various different shapes and forms. You know, like, for example, I was on a flight traveling to an event last month, and well, actually, she saw me reading my manuscript.
Oh, man.
And she said, "What are you reading? That looks interesting." I said, "It's my book." And she said, "Well, what is it about?" So I proceeded to tell her, and lo and behold, she brought up the problem of evil. You know, what do you think about God being all good, but yet all the evil in the world? And she came from a broken family. Her husband left her. And so I was able to share with her not only the philosophical approach to the problem of evil, but also the idea of redemptive suffering and uniting our cross and our suffering with that of Jesus for the salvation of our own souls and the souls of others, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was able to pull straight from the book and some of the stuff that I was writing about and share with her. And she, you know, she took my information. She was going to check out the book, and she was very, you know, her interest was piqued to begin pursuing answers to these questions. So indeed, yeah, the majority of these topics I have had an opportunity to engage people with.
Well, and Carly, you bring up a great point. Having the courage and the witness to have an in-person conversation like that is a beautiful thing, but this is a world of comm box wars and fiery Twitter exchanges. Do you think it's possible to have meaningful exchanges of ideas over social media, especially in terms of opening people's minds to Jesus and the truth?
You know, that's a great question, Mary. And I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of agnostic about it. I mean, there's one good argument, you know, you get into the fray, you engage people in social media, and you just do your best to plant seeds. But then the other counter argument is that it's futile. There's no point because you can't, it's almost impossible to convey the substance of the truth without being so superficial in comm boxes. Right. So many times you present something without the substantial ground of what you're saying, you know, and all the premises that led up to those conclusions. And so that just invites the person to attack a straw man, you know, to attack something that's really not the case and to misinterpret what you're saying. So, I mean, there's some good that can be done to it. But at the same time, we have to temper that and realize that it is extremely limited. But by no means should we not engage people in social media. We just have to learn to pick our battles.
Right. Hence the fertile ground of the airplane, because you can't get away. You are belted in.
Amen to that, sister. Carla, got that right.
Carla, tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about you and find your book.
Yeah, well, they can follow me on my own website at carlobrewsword.com. And also, they can buy the book at shop.catholic.com. So all of the material that I write and record is at catholic.com, but the book itself is at shop.catholic.com. And I believe it's even on Amazon, too. So if they research Prepare the Way on Amazon, they'll be able to find it there as well.
Awesome. Great. All right, Carla, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you.